You're listening to Blue Yonder with your hosts, Jim Jones, and introducing Aaron Hubbard.
Welcome to episode 73 of Blue Yonder. I'm Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard.
Hey, there was a little pause there. What, were you unsure of your name this week?
I'm holding my breath.
How long are you going to do that? The whole cast?
Till I turn blue. Till I get what I want.
And what he wants this week is to talk about Chain World.
Oh, yeah.
He also wants to talk about whether or not it's appropriate for men in their 30s to be playing video games.
Yeah.
But of course, as usual, he also wants to bring the bullshit thunder.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going into right away. Do you have any bullshit?
I have a little bit.
I okay. Got ultimate bullshit. Catch your breath first, because I don't want you to be out of breath while
we're talking
about bullshit.
I kind of want to seem dynamic, like I've ran a marathon.
Okay.
I've had a wild whirlwind of a week. Because
you did the slip and slide. I know that much.
Yeah.
The Jell-O slip and slide.
I did. So we finished concluded our cast last Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Which is not to come out. It was a fucked up experience
for
me anyway.
No, it's the best cast. Let's hype this cast a little bit.
You played a elaborate experiment on my brain.
I did.
And it left me very ill prepared to deal with what came next, which my girlfriend came home and broke up with me. Out of the clear blue yonder.
Legitimately sorry to hear that. No joking.
It's her loss. Because
it is.
It was bullshit. It's kind of bullshit. And
you go, girl.
Yeah. Whatever. Get the hell out.
No. You.
Oh,
the girl
me? I'm the girl?
Scenario, yeah.
Kinda. If I tuck my schlong, I can make a good girl. I can Buffalo Billet with the best
of
them.
You have to grow your hair back out and shave the beard. For God's sake, shave the full Riker.
What about,
if you're going to be the girl.
What about this? Shaving this. That's what I'm talking about.
We'll post a picture of that in the forums.
Yeah, we will. So that was crazy, and then like I had my son all weekend, which is great because you know we played video games, went to comic book store, we went swimming. Ooh. He's riding his bike now, so Panfi update. There's a trail that runs to Greenfield. We're both nerds, and
sure.
So we were like riding our bike everywhere. We ride our bike to the pizza place, ride our bike to the comic book store, ride our bike to the campground and go swimming, and mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's so much fun now that he's riding a bike and he's mobile. And then, you know, work's been kind of kooky. I've been really busy. There's, like, vendors in. I've been taking them out drinking every night for free, which is kind of awesome. Today, I had a golf outing in Satan's asshole.
Yeah, man.
It was 100 degrees straight up.
Yeah.
And then, like...
Heat index?
Like, the heat index is, like, felt like 110.
Yeah. They were saying the 116 in D.C. and where...
Right. And I bet that's pretty bad.
A lot of that, too.
I bet there's a lot of swamp ass in D.C., but, like, the Arizona fucker's like, nah, it's 120 out here. It's like, whatever. You
right.
got 10% humidity.
Right?
Your evaporative function the evolution gave you actually works. In Indiana, it doesn't. You just get swamp ass and miserable.
Sure.
But that's still a lot of fun because the thing about... A golf outing is they play in a scramble format.
What is that?
Okay.
No, I'm totally unfamiliar.
So what you do is everyone tees off, and then whoever got the best shot, everybody drops their ball within arm's length of that ball, and then plays the next round, and then shoots again, and then you take the best shot of those and drop your ball and shoot. So everyone kind of collaborates to play the theoretical best round of golf, and you get crazy scores. Like we were 11 under par.
Whoa.
Which is like a, you know, and the person that won,
it's
I think
like
the team
that
won.
Six different tries.
Yeah, exactly. Because we had a 6-man team, and you also get a mulligan apiece. Which means one mulligan, but that means you get to retry any shot that you want one time.
Yeah.
So, and the team that won got like 17 under. It was crazy. But it's fun because you're out there and it's kind of an adverse experience, but like everybody's there to have fun and you're drinking, there's free alcohol. And like, it's kind of like a compressed version of a friend group because you're...
What?
Well, like, I only knew half the people in my 6-man group. The other three were relative strangers. But you start developing these, like, sayings and memes and catchphrases that last throughout the day.
What is a friend group?
Friend.
Friend! Okay, I thought you said Fredin.
I am speaking as the Engalash. Yeah, a compressed version of like a friend group. So you get all these inside jokes and stuff in the space of 5 hours under the guise of alcohol and heat exhaustion.
Sure, sure.
But it was so fucking hot, and I'm wrung out, and now I'm sitting here casting with my good friend.
In a hot room.
Good friend Jim. But the other thing that happened that we can both talk about is we released a podcast, Breaking Good, about...
What are you talking about? I don't remember this at all.
Well, let me jog your memory. This is the most successful podcast...
ever
bald
done.
Move has ever done.
Well, ever.
By
period.
Far. And, you know, because we decided, you know what? We like Breaking Bad. We'll talk about it anyway. So let's just do the podcast on it. We've got all this equipment, all this experience. Let's just do it.
Our listeners know we talk about television all the time. We've talked about Mad Men, The Wire, Breaking Bad. And we decided, you know what? The new season is coming up. Let's do a new show.
Yeah.
So we started Breaking Good.
Yes. And first, the first episode that we covered got 500 listens in the first day. We've got like 17 so far, 5-star iTunes reviews. We're getting email, all the stuff that you fuckers never do for us. Our Breaking Good family is delivering.
Right? Right.
So like we're like, man, that's how you do a semi-successful podcast. You find a popular TV show that's lightly covered. Because like there's only one other pod, there's the official podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not really it's not really a fan cast.
Well, it's awesome because they've got the people from the actual show, and they've got the producer, and they've got directors, and they've got actors. So you get perspectives you're never going to get anywhere else.
Right.
But then there's the fan shows. The fan side is all the analysis, because we can speculate. Right. We can do the things that the actors and the producers can't do.
Right.
Because they know too much.
Right, right. And they won't like talk about spoilers and stuff like that.
Exactly.
But we will.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, that's the key to success, apparently, is you find a TV show that's popular and is lightly covered, and, you know, when you're you're in the first page of Google results and the front page of iTunes results for that thing, you are going to blow up.
You are. I'm going to suggest that the Personal Arrogance guys actually switch to a Desperate Housewives podcast.
Yeah, I think that's rife. That needs to be covered.
Plus, with their knowledge of the sitcom sets, I think they could really pull that off.
The in-depth analysis they could bring.
Ooh, man. Wow. Exit Stage back. Yeah.
Some more show notes. We got interviewed by the Amazingly Pulp Show.
No. When did that happen?
That happened like a couple weeks ago,
but it released this week, yeah.
And I thought we sounded like fucking...
geniuses.
Informed people. Like, I was amazed. I'm like, wow, we actually sound like we know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah, if you guys enjoy our show, you definitely need to go check out that Taps episode.
Yeah.
I call it Taps. It's the Amazingly Pulp Show on our website.
Right, it's taps.ballmove.com.
Yeah.
But really cool. It's made by a guy that's like an aspiring comic book artist.
Yeah, I went to school with him. He's a cool guy. And his brother.
And he's got, like, before he interviewed us, he interviewed Unshaved Comics guys, which are independent comic book publishers. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And he's got these connections, and he's got a lot of interviews coming up. And I really like his show format, lots of energy, same kind of like he's got a co-host, we got a similar type of feedback.
I'm totally jealous of his intro, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's pretty
it's
cool.
The Amazingly Pulp Show. Yeah, that's so cool.
If only you could bring something like that, you fucker.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, this is episode 73 of Blue Yonder.
Well, that about do it. We haven't done a redneck outro for long. We should do that tonight.
We will. I'll bring it.
And then Power Play released another one to the episode 4
this
week.
Indeed they did. Episode 4 of Power Play Resurrection, as it should be called.
And then some final show notes. We had Mad Brew on last week, and I thought it was pretty entertaining. I liked his military stories.
I got some decent feedback on it.
And he actually got some flack because Mad Brew's kind of big in the RPG community, and, you know... he got some flack from different female listeners about our different views about male privilege, and he got forwarded a link, which I'll probably put in the show notes. But this person, this is like a feminist studies, and she wrote this big essay about why men don't get male privilege. And then she's like, well, I'm a white person, and I've got white privilege. I'm going to explore that. And she like wrote out 40 different things where her white privilege comes into play in society. And she's like, it was really hard for me to admit some of these things, and not all of them are bad. And like, it's basically, she defended white privilege the way I guess a man would defend male privilege. Like, well, we didn't ask for it. the fact that we get, I mean, it's not like I come into my boss and like, I want to be paid more than any fucking equivalent woman.
Because I'm white and male. Because
I got a dick swinging between my legs.
Right? No, but, I've never done that. Like, well, I've done that once, but that was extenuating circumstances.
Okay, right. Well, I mean, you were a male dancer. So that was, you know, relevant
to
the position.
Yeah.
That was part of your experience and your criteria that meets the job description. But, you know, I didn't ask to be stronger than most women. I didn't ask to be...
Oh, he's getting offensive right off the bat in this episode. I'm stronger, I'm smarter, I'm hairier.
I am hairier than most women. It's like, the thing is, like, I think it's... I like being stretched intellectually this way. And it's something that I'm really evolving constantly. Like, I'm trying to be a better citizen and trying to, you know, I put these casts out to, you know, talk about things like, you know, how I feel about gay rights and how I feel about women's issues and how I feel about geeks' issues. And it helps me kind of better inform my worldview. So thank you for being part of that experiment.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah. But yeah, he got some flack for that.
Yeah, he did.
But he's still going to come back and do another Gen Con preview. I hope next week.
We need to get him on next week.
Because we're 2 weeks away from Gen Con, people.
It's coming up fast.
Right.
The whole month of August. I'm facing down Gen Con, possibly Chicago Comic Con.
Right.
And then PAX, like 2 weeks later. So I've got
three
conventions.
Which is
going to
be Lollapalooza, man. We're going to be staying with Matt and Jamie.
Well, I'm thinking about going for Jamie's birthday too, which is a couple days beforehand.
Dude, I wasn't going to go because my girlfriend couldn't get off work.
Well, now
fuck that. Yeah. I'm going out a day early. Jesse, we are coming for your birthday.
Coming for your birthday.
We got you just what you wanted. An extra day of Aaron and Jim smelly ass in your apartment.
I don't take showers.
He registered for that on Target. I thought it was weird.
Did he?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that's a weird request.
He had to custom type all that out on the touchscreen. Must have taken forever, that specific request.
But yeah. Well, so, okay, I'm totally down. Let's leave, what is it, Wednesday that he's...
Yeah. We'll have to play birthday? To that postcast.
Yeah, we'll have to go like Tuesday night
we're definitely
or Wednesday
gonna
or
do
something.
That. I'm pumped. I'm excited about PAX. I'm excited about Gen Con.
Well, I always love PAX, right?
Plus, like, Mad Brew got us into an industry-only, like...
Yeah.
Gaming event. I want to say it's the Wear Cabbages Society.
Whoa.
I know. I've never heard of it either.
But Wear Cabbage?
It's a somewhat secretive game designer in crowd thing that he's gotten invited to for consideration to join the club next year.
So it's like Full Moon, I turn into a cabbage is what I'm thinking.
And we're his plus one to this event.
Cabbage.
If a cabbage comes towards you with fangs, watch out.
Yeah, no. Why does a were-cabbage have to have fangs? Because it's not a werewolf cabbage.
Ooh, that's
true. It's just a were-cabbage. It would just have cabbagey leaves.
How would it spread its were-cabbageism?
You eat it, and you turn into a were-cabbage.
That's a fucked up way to reproduce oneself.
Well, like, what does that? Praying mantis? Praying mantis will eat the head off of the mate.
Yeah, but she has literally millions of babies. Well, no, not literally millions. Literally hundreds of babies.
Maybe the were-cabbages do as well.
Really?
Maybe.
So, like, you...
Because multiple people are going to eat the were-cabbage,
right? You know, I'm sure of, no one gives a fuck
right.
about the breeding habit of were-cabbages. That's
okay.
All the bullshit I have or need.
That's all,
and
I've got
friend?
No bullshit. I am bullshit-free
oh,
this
good,
week.
Because I was full of it.
Although, I have to say, I am moving this weekend, so that's going to be an ordeal.
Guess where he's moving?
Back to the Bald Cave.
Yeah, it's going to be Jim and Aaron.
So no
together
more
together again.
No more Bald Tower, unfortunately, but the Bald Cave will suffice, I think.
Yeah.
The Bald Cave, we'll have to figure out a setup for the podcasting.
Is this a short-term thing, you think, or?
Until
you get pissed off at the snow. That's what's going to happen.
What?
You're going to stay here until you get pissed off at the snow, and then, like, fuck this.
No, because, jobs are for the week.
Yeah? You think you're just going to quit?
No. If my boss is listening to this, absolutely not. I have no plans to quit within the next 3 days.
Hell no. I don't care as long as the rent check doesn't bounce.
Right?
You can stay as long as you want.
Okay, so that's it for bullshit.
Yes.
Let's go into Chain World. Because
yes.
I read this article today about Chain World. I had not heard anything about this, but
and
apparently you had.
Yeah, Jane, Professor McGonagall.
McBeer Goggles, yeah.
She talked about this at PAX, and I remember it being kind of a stink because I talked to some geeks in line, and they were kind of, it was already divisive back then in PAX.
I had never heard of it until
Yeah, so
now.
So, okay, tell us from your perspective.
Okay, so I was reading this article on Wired, I think.
Yep.
About this game called Chain World. And I don't remember the guy's name. Do you know the guy's name?
That created it?
Yeah, look it up while I'm talking about it.
Jason Rohrer.
Okay, that was quick.
I got Google Foo.
Google Foo.
Mad Foo.
So Jason Rohrer created this game called Chain World. And basically what it is it's a Minecraft, a version of Minecraft with different scripts. And it's all contained onto one USB drive.
Right.
One thumb drive.
Right.
And the game can only be played from this thumb drive, and you pass it to someone.
When like you die, you can only play one. The scripts are all to serve to enforce the game rules,
right.
Which is you get one death.
You get one life.
Right.
And when you die, you're done. You're done playing it forever. So when you die, you hand it to someone else who would appreciate it, I guess, is what he said.
That expresses interest.
That expresses interest, yep. Yes. So this game has a very weird history and lineage to it, because what happened is he took this to a game development conference. I don't know what it was called. Unless you have it immediately.
It was
2011 Game Design Challenge.
In San Francisco March 4th, you idiot.
So he took it to this conference, and he gave it to this guy that he thought was crippled.
Because he's sitting in like one of the front rows with like leg crutches. And
yeah,
the guy looks retarded, to be fair.
The guy doesn't look it. Get out of here. What are you doing, this poor
Asian
guy?
It's the same thing.
Hey, I dated an Asian for a while.
And she was retarded.
No, come
she
on.
She broke up with you, didn't she?
Well, she was retarded.
There
You're
you
right.
go.
So he gave it to this guy who he thought was handicapped. Because he had crutches or whatever. But turns out he just injured himself at the dance party the night before.
Right.
At some insider game development party. So he gives it to this guy.
But let me back up, because the point of this was to develop a game that would become a religion.
Yes.
And like, there's a couple of tepid things, and you know, John Romero's dumbass got up there and did a pitch.
Yeah.
But this guy's like, basically, like, this is going to be, you've got this one life, you shape the world, you can't make any signage, it's just whatever you create stands on its own, and you pass on to the next person. And
this
mythology.
Easily won.
Yeah, and this mythology, and he took the USB drive and, like, sanded all the plastic off of it and painted weird runes on it so it looks like a holy artifact.
Yeah, bumps on it.
Yeah,
and
like,
all this
mystery would surround it, and, like, you know, I wonder what's in that game, and, you know, people would want it.
Yeah,
and
it's almost like the Ark of the Covenant or something.
It's very artsy, the concept. I liked it. I loved it.
Yeah, very high concept. But he gives it to this guy at the conference. And so this guy takes it, and he decides that he's going to auction it off to celebrities.
The third slot, because he was the second player.
He was the second player, yes. The first player was the developer.
Yeah.
Second player was this guy.
Yeah. His concept was to auction off the celebrities, and then the celebrity give it to a common person, and
keep doing that cycle over and over. Which, I feel like that kind of violates the initial concept.
I know, like, and I love it. I want to let's finish the story, and then I want to talk about it.
Okay, so you want me to go through the whole lineage of this drive?
Yeah, give us a 5-minute recap.
Quick.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
So basically, this guy takes it.
I'll jump in when you're wrong.
He eBays it, yeah, because I'm doing this all from memory. Aaron's got this shit on the screen here.
Uh-huh.
So he eBays it, right? He puts it up for auction.
Right.
And apparently, there were a few bids at first, and he thought it was going to sell for a few bucks. And then it caught fire, and people started bidding, and eventually it ended up going for like $3,300.
Right.
To the highest bidder. But this guy was traveling in Hawaii at the time, mm-hmm. so he was kind of out of touch for like 3 months.
Right.
He was gone.
And he was keeping this USB drive in like a Ziploc bag with him in a fucking
jungle.
So
that it wouldn't get ruined.
Because, you know, Ziploc bags can protect from anything. Can't keep my meat from being freezer burned, but
yeah, but water, they're good.
Oh, really? Let me
I
put
so.
One, let me put one your iPhone in one and throw it in a pool. Does that sound like a good idea?
Is it a double zip? Is it one of those?
It's a freezer bag, sure.
Freezer bag? Okay, let's do it.
Wow.
Yeah, let's do it. But let's wait until the new iPhones come out.
Okay.
So he does that. He's in Hawaii. He's gone for 3 months. And the entire time he's got this thing. And I guess he plays it, right?
Right. He did play it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But what happened is...
Oh, let's go back to the original developer for a second. Yep. Because he was saying that he played the game. He was the first player. And he had one of the most heartbreaking deaths ever.
Right.
Because he didn't get very far in his own game, apparently.
Right. I think he wanted to build a lot of cool stuff and lay the groundwork. But yeah. He basically fucked up in the first or second day of Minecraft.
Yeah, and the things killed him. The enemies killed
him. Which can happen. I mean, yeah, it's happened to me. Right? Sure.
So he was like, oh, God, I can't believe I died. And now he has to pass it on.
Yep.
Because that's his vision for it.
Right.
So the guy in Hawaii auctions it off. Somebody buys it. Now, he says that the drive is in the hands of the person who won the auction.
Right.
But he's also created multiple videos on YouTube with him either A, destroying the drive,
yeah, like
throwing
he
it into an open volcano.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. but he also has it where he's handing it off to some random person in Hawaii, I don't know, some random person.
But talk about the controversy already, because when people heard that he was doing his auction bullshit, mm-hmm. a lot of people got pissed and tried.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said, it's like, you got to do this and give it back to Jane McBeer Goggles
McBeer
or whatever.
Goggles, yeah.
And other people like, this is not the intent of Chain World. This is not true to its vision. And
right?
They tried to bid it away to break the cycle, and they were going to start the real vision. Do you see where this is going?
Oh, this is totally
a
religion.
We had apostasy.
Is this not like the break in
the second
Catholic
player
church?
Was apostate, like, man.
Yeah, totally.
He was a Protestant. He left the true faith.
Absolutely. And I'm of the opinion that the original vision should be held to. No eBaying.
Right.
You just hand it to the people. So I'm in the purists group.
All right. So flash forward and...
What happened after that?
I don't know.
He made the...
There's like 30...
As far
okay,
as I know,
so
he
now,
made the videos and no one knows where it is.
No. So someone won it for $3,300.
Okay.
And now this person is basically... No one knows what's happened now because they basically took it and are deliberately being mysterious about what they're doing with it because they want to add to the mythology.
They want to make it a religion.
Right? Right.
That works for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see.
So this came up with like... six different interpretations of how this is happening. And this article lists that there were several things that Roar's Simple Creation was revealing about games, religion, and human behavior. One, nothing. It's performance art. The Roar and this G guy that absconded to Hawaii were in cahoots playing predetermined roles.
That.
Yeah, both of them say that that's not true.
I didn't get that vibe at all.
Number two, religion is dumb. And Frank France,
well, I can agree with that, but
the,
I don't know
the creative director of Zynga, which is the Facebook farm
just sold for almost $1 billion. Yeah, that
he says my favorite
That was PopCap. Never mind.
He says my favorite thing about this is that it reflects the deep sickness unto death that is religion, a lethal blend of megalomaniacal solipsism. Yeah, that's basically lying.
Sure.
Paranoid schizophrenia, platonic idealism, banal pyramid schemes.
Be anal.
Authentic grassroots collectivism and good old-fashioned resentment.
Right.
Whatever that the hell. I don't even know what that word is. I got a big vocab, and that word broke.
This guy's got the vocab.
Three, religion is more than its sacred text. Roarer, the creator, says, this is totally not something I would have wanted to happen at all. On the other hand, it's interesting that this guy would take something that I had done and irritate me with it. If religion is about customs and rituals, not sacred text, G was a gift to Chain World, enriching it beyond the means of the creator.
So can we pause right here? Because
yes.
What I want to happen with this podcast is I want someone to take it and turn it into not only a religion, but I want someone to irritate me with it. I want it to be used in ways that I find offensive.
Like supporting racism?
Sure, whatever you
want to
do with it.
Like,
this... I'm going to say that this podcast is now released under a
Creative
GPL, a public license.
Are you putting this in Creative Commons?
I'm putting this in Creative Commons. Anybody can do whatever they want with this podcast. Please irritate me with it.
All right, I'll endorse
that.
Saying. The Creative Commons license only applies to podcasts that are only Gemini.
Gemini.
Yep. It doesn't involve Peter, because we can't speak for Peter.
Right.
Or
okay.
any of our interviewees. Sure. But everything that's just the two of us,
yep.
Creative Commons.
Creative Commons.
All right. I'll be down with that.
Okay. And offend us with it. Offend us, irritate us, do your worst.
Us.
Yes.
Assassinate us with the podcast.
That's what I really want. The PA guys need to really step up here,
oh, yeah.
right?
They need to
do something horrible with it.
You know what? Some asshole's going to fashion a bullet out of a USB drive and shoot us at PAX.
No.
And
no.
Then
it's
got to
be with
it.
The digital data. It can't be with a USB drive. That's not Creative
USB
Commons.
Drive with our podcast all loaded on it.
No, I don't like that at all.
Well, that would irritate you, wouldn't it? Getting killed by a USB drive containing all the podcasts?
I think that fulfills the mission. No, it doesn't. It's got to kill me with data.
His face is red, listeners. I think that would irritate him.
Well, I've been drinking, so there is that.
And I've been out in the sun all day. Number four, Roar and other eight art gamers take themselves way too seriously, which I kind of got that from reading the article.
No, I think this is something that's interesting enough to qualify as not taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah, but like people saying that this is perverted beyond. I mean, it's a game in a USB drive, people. All right, let's just get through the points.
Yeah.
Five, that Roar is a genius, that the rules that he encoded in Chainworld are so clever that even something that appears to be a perversion of the design's intent only serves to reinforce the metaphor, mm-hmm. which is the opinion of Game of Sutra's Alexander.
Dhamma Sutra.
Basically, this guy made a game about how religion is really these stories you tell about the past, and now they weren't, you know, they were creating all this, not just unpredictable stories in the game, but unpredictable stories around the game. Mm. And six, Roar is a god, which I don't understand that. So, no. Okay, no. So let's debate this, because I think this is awesome. This is such... Everything that's done has reinforced a metaphor that this game is a religion. You had a one true god, a creator, a first apostle, a perverted version of the truth, disputes about the holy text, disputes about whose vision of the original intent was more pure.
Yeah, the intention of it. Yep.
Trying to make a buck off of it, but then passing it off as charity. You know, lies, not keeping your promise, mystery. This was way more interesting than if people just pass this USB drive from person to person to person and kept hushed tones about it.
No, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
The only thing that I think would be awesomer is if someone violated the rules explicitly, like posted video game footage of them playing the game, which is against the 9 commandments of Chainworld. You're not supposed to talk about what happens. You're not supposed to show anybody what happens except for the next person that plays it.
So we literally know nothing about this game.
No.
Because no one has released any information about it.
No, and it's only had like 3 players.
Yeah, right.
But I think it'd be funny.
Well, McBeargoggles got it, didn't she?
No, she didn't play it.
I thought you said you saw her at PAX.
Yes, she talked about it. She was pimping it. The whole idea of this, you know, auction to raise money.
I thought
and all
someone
that kind
handed
of stuff.
It to her at PAX.
It was the G guy was there, but nobody like I don't think they handed it to her to be the next person to play. I don't know.
Oh well, lame.
My memories of that was kind of fuzzy. I remember the multiplayer Thumb Wars game, and that's about it.
Got moist when you heard Rick Ross.
I did a little bit.
I'm of the opinion that the original vision was perverted, no doubt. Like, Roar did not intend for this to be auctioned off to celebrities.
Sure.
By any means.
No.
But I can't argue with where it's gone, because it's just so cool. Like, the story is so awesome.
It's got twists and turns and villains and heroes.
And the fact that this guy posted videos on YouTube of him, A, destroying, or B, handing off the drive... Like, this is so cool. Who knows if it's even still in existence, right?
Right. Can you imagine if someone wrote a canonical example, or, like, a factual account, of what happened, and then you buried it for 2,000 years and someone found it later?
It would be the Bible.
Yeah!
Yeah. It would basically be the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm totally convinced
this could be
a religion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be too cavalier, because I think we're being a little bit cavalier since we're both kind of atheist agnostics.
And obviously, it's hyperbole or whatever you call it, hyperbole. Yeah,
it's the epitome
of
hyperbole.
That's what I'm looking for. It's the hyperbole with the Raiders versus
the Dumb Fox.
Raiders versus Chain World.
But no, I think that this, if this just became like this weird cult where people just passed on and you heard it in hushed tones at game conventions, it would be okay. But what's happened since has been freaking amazing.
So
I love it.
I love it too. If I were this guy, I feel like this would have violated his original intent,
but
I would have programmed the thing so that it would report back to me so that I know where it is. Like IP addresses, I could tell where in the country, where in the world it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this guy didn't do that, so it's just hanging out there.
Plus, that'd be so easy to disable because it's a USB fucking drive. I mean, if you
added
all that
shit to
it.
You can change the code. But like, that's the thing.
USB drives don't have transponders and... I mean, you'd have to embed it, too. Okay.
You'd have to have software that auto-installs on the user's computer.
But what if someone just destroys it?
Right? Like, what if someone edits the code?
I mean, it's like...
Changes the game.
It's like fucking... And what would be awesome if someone destroyed it and, like, Sauron fucked up the world in the Lord of the Rings trilogy or Satan.
Or someone burned the Library of Alexandria, for instance.
Or Satan tempted the first man, and then the creator came down and had to do something else to keep it going. I mean, this could go so many cool angles.
It could, yeah.
Like, I think that you say it's a perversion... Uh-huh. I think it's the ultimate fulfillment of the guy's game design.
No, and I'm coming around to that because it's just taken such an unpredictable trajectory in its story that I can't see it going any better.
I mean, the only thing is, like, you need stories of, like, someone holding this USB drive and it cures them and then their cancer goes away.
Sure, yeah. Why not?
I mean, this, yeah, it is pretty awesome where this could go.
So I'm, I'm waiting for more stories on this. Like, I'm going to be searching Chain World every day on Google to find out what's happening, latest with Chain World.
Right.
Is that all we have on Chain World? Are you done with Chain World?
I am. I'm just reading some of the comments and how apocalyptic people are. Like, this is a very heated debate. Like if you went to some place and looked at an abortion article or an article about prayer in schools or anything like that, that's how heated the debate is in this comment thread.
Oh,
did you read the comment thread on this?
No,
thing?
I didn't. I have very low tolerance for comments in general.
Right, especially
so
our
I typically
listeners.
Don't.
God
yeah.
damn, when they get our
when they email us at blueyonder@baldmove.com or when they go
good.
To our forums at forums.baldmove.com.
Yeah,
we have very low tolerance for that.
Yeah.
So please don't do it if you want to irritate us with this podcast.
It's a good thing no one does do that stuff.
Anyway, let's chain this into our next topic, talking about video games.
Well, or do we want to...
Man, I had the ultimate segue. The ultimate segue going, and you just interrupted
and I don't
and
feel
ruined
like
it.
Reviewing a Rift Tracks. I could, but I'm not going to.
Which one were you going to review?
Roadhouse.
So that's coming up, listeners. You know it's in the bag.
I could do it right now.
Did we do the Karate Kid 3 last week?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
What the hell, man? Do you have a depressed skull fracture?
I do.
You can't remember what happened last week?
I'm concussed.
Am I still dating someone? What's going on?
Did I change my diaper this morning?
Are you moving in with me this weekend? What's happening?
Speaking of stupidity, I was reading this article today, and apparently it's a video. I didn't know that because I was at work. I couldn't look at the video at the time. But they were talking about how these people on the Today Show think it is inappropriate for people in their 30s/40s to be playing video games still. And I have to say, I don't know if I agree with that. Let's
play the
pretty
clip.
Damn sure I don't. Yeah, let's play the
because
clip
this
real quick.
Is a Kathy Lee Gifford and the other...
It really makes me want to go blind and deaf.
Okay, let's just play it.
Elizabeth, what's up with men in video games? Do you think it's okay for men to play video games in their 30s over?
No, that's weird.
Xbox. The answer, no. I mean, maybe
it's
weird.
Really,
I think, you know, when you're 30s, there should be something more on your mind, your attention to video games. I mean, that's it. You know,
but what about the guys who
but
do
if
that?
They're playing them with their kids...
Well, that's
it's
different.
Totally
I don't
fine.
Think that's totally
yes. No, they're talking about those weird ones in the basement.
There's a lot else to do in life than video games after 30.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't believe I'm agreeing with Donnie
we've,
on that.
We've agreed on
everything.
Donnie.
Kumbaya.
No.
Okay, done.
I have a vein raging in my forehead right now.
Maybe if there were anybody in their 30s on that show, I could tolerate it. But there's not.
They're talking about, and it's like the whole thing is like they said, that you know, we're talking about this the weird basement people.
Right? Like, those are the outliers.
I have this problem. I've got this theory that there's a lot of women out there who don't like to see men have fun. Like, they react.
Oh, no, we're getting controversial.
I don't care. Because
I know
true.
You don't.
It's, I think there is a type of woman out there that reacts to seeing men have a good time the way a police officer reacts to seeing a motorist burn out or pop a fucking wheelie. It just like triggers something primal red zone in their mind, and they're like, they got to stop it. Because in their mind, the man's role is to fucking help take care of the kids and to make money so they can buy shit.
Bread.
And I was in a relationship with a woman for 12 years that... you know, the stuff that she did that she found fun.
This is the relationship cast, by the way.
Yeah, like landscaping and decorating the house and buying clothes for herself. Those are things for the family.
Oh, buying clothes for herself is absolutely for the family. Are you kidding me?
Me spending money on a video game was selfish.
Oh, yeah.
And this whole thing, like, well, I guess if they do it with the kids, that's one thing. Like, you know what? Fuck you. If a man is earning money and paying and pulling his own weight and helping out with the kids and helping out the house chores, there's nothing weird. Like, why don't you ask, is it weird for a guy to watch 3 movies a week? Is it weird for a guy to watch 4 hours of television a day? Is it weird for a guy to sit around all Sunday and watch football?
Yeah.
No, because he's having a good time. And if he's a good father and a provider and all that stuff, why don't you get off his back, bitch?
Here's the thing. This guy, what does this guy look like? 50?
Yeah.
He looks like he's 50 years old. I think he's from a different generation when video games were just not something you did. Sitting around watching TV, having a beer was something you did. And I guarantee he would say that is an acceptable after-work hobby.
Right, even if even the guy's drinking a six-pack every night and collapse and passing out in front of a television, that's acceptable.
That's
behavior.
Acceptable because that's what his generation did. Our generation plays video games. Our generation will be playing video games until they're 80 years old because that's what we grew up on. Not Howdy Doody, not television. We grew up with video games. So I don't think any of these people, none of these people are in our generation at all. They're all older than us.
Right.
So I don't think they understand that that's just part of the lifestyle that we have now.
Yeah, but I've known there are women out there that espouse this theory, even in our own generation, that video games are a waste of time.
How are video games any more a waste of time than watching movies?
I don't know. Like,
now, there's a difference between, I think, playing Mortal Kombat and playing something maybe a little more interesting,
well,
you know?
Dude, I used to have to... I mean, you knew. I used to have to beg to get the way for, like, one night a
for
week,
a LAN party.
A month to play a board game with you guys. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I had to pay penance on and walk on crushed glass to play a LAN party.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a weird... I don't understand why, but... It is a very weird kind of control issue, almost, and that I don't know. I'm from a toxic relationship where this kind of stuff just makes me go into this like weird like zone that red zone where I just want to start punching people.
No, I get it. I think it's a generation gap thing.
I don't think it's. I think that's part of it, but I also think that.
I've never been in one of those.
It's a larger issue where there's, you know, there's like sometimes, and I think, you know, there's stuff that's healthy and unhealthy, okay? Like,
sure.
You know, if you are doing video games to exclusion of all else, you're not paying any attention to your kids,
if you're one of those basement people, like she's talking about.
If you're addicted, you know, because the thing is like, I think that people get addicted to things because of, it's a way to medicate depression. You can get addicted to drugs, you get addicted to sex.
Alcohol, gambling,
money,
everything
power.
You can think, and things that are right in the wheelhouse of the guy's pastime.
Right. If you have to play video games every waking moment or you get to, you know, to take your mind off how bad your life is and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's not healthy. But if you've got a job and a social life and you do things with friends and games are part of that.
Yeah.
And if you're playing for 3 hours a night, you know, I don't understand why that necessarily is a problem if everything else is going good.
It's, in my opinion, it's absolutely no different and probably more beneficial than watching television every night.
I think that there is some codependency in relationships where, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to really grasp for it. The relationship I was in, it would be considered family time if you would watch TV together. Even if I did not like the TV show, it became not family time if I was on the same couch and the TV was on and I had my laptop open.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was insanity, because it's like, I don't like Top Chef. I don't like the same stuff. And
well, there's something exclusive about having a laptop open on your lap, right?
How?
Because you're the only one who can see it. Like, you can't possibly have a conversation with someone else about something you're looking at and they're not.
But why do you have to share everything all the time? Like, there's some relationships that are like that, but I think it's kind of codependent. That if you can't, like, I think that every relationship should have their own thing going on.
I totally agree 100%.
You should have your own friends, your own hobbies. You should have things in common, but you should also have your own time. And if you have kids, you know, you got to figure out how yourself to do. But maybe one person gets one night a week where they get to do something by themselves, and then the other guy watches.
Girls are guys' night out.
And then the guy watches the kids, and the woman does something different. But, like, if you don't have a life away from your partner, it just becomes really toxic and clingy and suffocating very fast. Yeah. Speaking from personal experience.
Okay.
So, like I said, I thought this was a bigger social issue than just an old guy and two old harpies not getting video games.
Three old harpies.
Three?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The person reading the mail, I guess.
Yeah. Because she was chiming in with her basement dweller stuff.
So, yeah.
But there are also the basement dwellers who are unhealthy, right? I mean, we talked about that. There are people who take it to the extreme. And if you're 30 or 40 and you are playing games to the detriment of everything else in your life, that's a problem.
Well, but it's a problem
because the same problem as if you're a high schooler playing games to the detriment of your education.
Yeah, I guess my problem is because I don't think long term. If I truly thought people would be happier that way, I don't think it would be a bad deal. But
just playing games.
Yeah. But I think playing video games, if you're playing video games for, let's say, 18 hours a day on a regular basis, you're kind of voluntarily putting yourself into the Matrix, right?
Well, I'd sign up for that anyway.
You're living a fantasy life at the expense of not having a real one. And that has real consequences because, you know, you're probably not keeping down a job and you're working yourself into debt and, like, blah, 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 blah. So,
sure, yeah. That's why people live in their parents' basements.
Yeah. So I think that's, like, you know, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with playing video games that much except for it has a cost to a person's self-esteem and...
Yeah,
you know, it's the development as a person.
And an opportunity cost. You're looking at time you could be spent on other things.
Right.
That you're spending on essentially nothing that's progressing your place in life, you know?
One of the things that made me craziest about my mom is, like, if I'd go out with my friends on Friday night, and then Saturday something cool came up, opportunity, and I'd say, hey, can I go out?
It's too much.
They would say, you just did something last night.
Yeah.
So you don't need to do something tonight. I'm like, what the fuck kind of logic is that? Something cool happened last night, something cool's happening tonight, and now I can't go because what?
Yeah. No, my parents, my mom tried to do that to me. My dad did not.
See, if my
dad
boy
was cool with it.
Like, I think that's a way for parents to try to keep their kids in the nest longer because
you know
that happens when you're late teen and you start detaching, and that's a healthy thing to happen.
Oh yeah,
but
want to interact with people. And,
yeah,
but parents don't like that.
Well,
at least my parents. Well, my mom didn't.
I can
like
see
that
not
at all.
Liking it because, you know, it kind of. I read something somewhere that says if you do your job right, you're training your child to break your heart one day.
Sure. Yeah.
Because they're going to not need you anymore.
Yeah.
And they're going to want to spend time with their family and their friends and all that stuff. And you hear about these guys and girls in their 30s and 40s that are more wrapped up in their parents and brothers and sisters than they are in their own families and friends. And that's the kind of shit that happens when you do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you want them to create their own life. And, you know, obviously, if you do your job right, too, they won't completely abandon you and put you in a state-run nursing home and be like, cats in the cradle and the silver. I mean...
I gotta say, I honestly have no idea what I'm gonna do. My parents are getting up there. My dad's, like, 72.
But we have weird, fucked-up situations.
Sure. Like, I probably won't have to take care of my parents just because they won't let me. But I don't know how I would if they did. Because I don't know that I make enough money to support my parents as well as myself, you know?
The other thing is they've cut, like my dad I would support you know, because...
But your mom, you probably wouldn't. They've cut the ties, yeah.
Yeah, like, she decided that the religion was more important than me.
Yeah, they disown you, you're going to disown them right back.
And not feel bad about it.
That makes sense. But I don't know how I would. Like, let's say, hypothetically, I was in a situation where 99% of the population is, where they're eventually going to have to support their parents in one way or another. I don't know how I'd do that. Yeah,
I mean, I make good money. There's no doubt about it. But I still, like, I would have a hard time supporting my family, like my parents, in addition to like whatever family I would have, or even myself.
It yeah, just, I don't know.
You
find the worst state-run nursing home, the one they talk about on the TV shows.
$50 a month, you got your parents.
Yeah, or Soylent Green.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, Fargo, a little of that.
Wood chipper.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going?
Soylent Green, just Fargo it. Fargo it right into Soylent Green, man.
Oh. Wow.
All right. So what else do we have to say about this? I have nothing to say, honestly.
I blue screened after the Fargo, putting your parents in a wood chipper, honestly. That's a little low even for you, Jim. You're a monster. And I'm surprised you put that out in the air.
Whatever, my parents don't listen to this. Are you kidding me?
True.
Yeah. My brother might, though. He might tell them.
Yeah, but he's probably on board with the wood chipper. I mean, you guys
he,
are...
Otherwise, he has to support
I've always
him, right?
had my eyes on you boys. I mean, I always thought you guys were crazy.
So I don't know what else we have to talk about. I mean, we're...
Yeah, we got a little bit of feedback. I mean, people said they liked the
Maverick. Do we have some feedback? Hit me with some feedback, because...
Jesse of Personal Arrogance said I loved the Maverick.
Wait, that's not feedback. That's... off the top of your head.
No, that's feedback.
I don't see any feedback on that screen. We were talking about C-Man. Dreamcast game. No.
Okay, if you want to talk about C-Man,
I want to C-Man with Leonard Nimoy. Look it up. Look it up, listeners.
Now, are you going to force me to put this in my fucking show notes now?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because
C-Man, C-Man. Oh.
God damn it. There's too many topics on our forums now. I can't navigate it.
Anyway, so I don't know.
So yeah,
let's get some feedback going.
I think we were kind of talked about it. Ostafa said that the white, straight, CIS male privilege situation is a tough one to approach, which I think was interesting because I know from him, he's a minority too. He's a Muslim American.
Sure.
So he probably knows about discrimination and all that kind of bullshit.
Yeah,
which it's funny because I kind of thought he'd get into that in his comment and he didn't. But he said... he wants a day where people naturally not care what a person is. He's like all Martin Luther King, I have a dream. He said, as for the one solution of making a note of people who are not a privilege and go out of our ways to make sure they're equal, that's more of a quick fix that doesn't help the problem. It's like if a muffler fell off my car and I decided to fix with duct tape, you know. It's actually a mess and it's nowhere near the state it should be at. But
yeah.
So it's like I kind of agree there are some... Man, I don't know how to talk about this in the semi-informed state I am without becoming across offensive. Because what I really want to say is there are some things intrinsically, empirically better about being a man.
Oh, no!
And there's some things intrinsically better about being a woman. For example...
Boobs.
Women and, you know, like you talk about reproductive rights and all that kind of, and, you know, and you talk about, you know, men's strength advantages and the fact we live in like a male patriarch. I mean, I don't know, like I haven't unpacked everything that I get for being a straight white male that are good that I want everyone to have.
Yeah.
And some things that I get because intrinsic things that I have that maybe a woman doesn't. Like, I can ejaculate semen.
What? Caution, semen.
If they want to do that, I can't help them.
No. What? You lost me, man.
I don't know. That's why I said I would run the risk of sounding like a half-informed idiot.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, I guess not, you know, not everyone is born equal. Like, we say that like it's a thing, but not everyone is born equal, and we have inequalities in our system, even if we try to make everything
fair.
Well,
we have inequalities in the societal system, right?
Yeah. Economic, social, everything.
Yeah, and I think that's what we really need to repair. Now, if you're talking about, like, strength or whatever, then of course a man is physically stronger than a woman. That has
consequences. I mean, the
that
reason
has consequences within society. Yeah,
isn't that? But they're like society is like some like men randomly decided to oppress women. I think what happened is men were the dominant side of our species, and we're the ones that made war, and we're the ones that hunted, and we're the ones that protected, and women needed us for survival. And now, flash forward, that women have cars and handguns and, you know, other things, and they've got their own money, and that's not... But our society hasn't caught up, because you got hundreds of thousands of years.
Okay, but here's the deal. It's gradually changing. Just as black people being in movies gradually change.
Right.
Just as the gay culture is gradually being assimilated into our society.
Right.
Everything comes in its due time. We have to work through the period of hardship with this, where we strive for equality, and eventually we hit it. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. It can't happen overnight. We've talked about this in multiple casts before.
If our society stays stable and sane and all that stuff, but think about like Walking Dead. One of the prime issues were... No, a serious crisis happens in the civilization, and things instantly reverted back to where men were running things, and women just kind of passively went along with it. And even women said, like, what the fuck? When did we go along with that? But, you know, when a man...
And I don't agree that it has to be that way. I think...
Dude, when a man was whipping ass on a woman, the other women couldn't stop him, and a man had to come in there...
No, I understand that. Like, the physical differences between men and women are there, and they're not going to change, right?
Right.
That's something that's built into the human species.
Right.
Now, as far as how our society deals with it, Rick Grimes doesn't have to step up in Walking Dead and be the leader.
Right.
His girlfriend, whatever her name is, or any of the other women on the
that's
show.
That's sexist.
Right, because I don't remember her name. Any of the other women
she's
on the show
could, faceless woman to you.
Could step up and be the leader.
Yeah.
They can formulate the same ideas. They can come to the same conclusions that men can.
Actually,
but when it comes to killing zombies, of course, men are stronger physically. They have a different physical makeup, so of course.
I just don't like... I actually have a really... I'm going to challenge you on Breaking Good on some things that you said the last week and some of the stuff. So it's like... And there'll be some of that. But I guess what I'm saying is... it's not... I think that the differences in sexes are not just a physical. Mm-hmm. And there's like... And that's one of the things I wanted to get into. I wanted to do a podcast just about relational types of stuff. Because it's not just men and women. I guess it's like feminine and masculine. Because you can have masculine women and feminine men.
Sure, yeah.
That type of... Like when you're talking about emotional and mental energies and you look at all these studies about like women are better at this than men and men are better than this than women. Mm-hmm. There are biological hardware differences between us at a emotional, a psychological, at a hormonal level. And... Like, I think it's good that we're pushing towards equal treatment, but I think in a utopian society, there would be more of a division of labor. Like, there wouldn't be equality. There'd be, like, we'd go to this weird separate but equal. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I mean, you don't want, like, a 5-foot dainty woman wielding a chainsaw as a lumberjack.
Well, it's like
it just doesn't work out,
right? The classic example
is...
Firefighters changed the standards of what they did for physical fitness. So, like, it used to be that a fireman had to carry a 150-pound person.
Well, you goddamn better be able to lift a fire hose.
Well, no, because what they've done is now their physical requirement is two people have to be able to carry it. Because women could not carry an unconscious person down 3 flights of stairs or whatever the thing was. And because they can't bar women from being firefighters, they changed the standard to now... As long as two people can do the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm a person, I want a big, burly fireman to be able to carry my fat ass down a flight of stairs or drag me or something. So it's like...
And this is not actually a men versus women thing. This is about physically being able to perform
a
function.
If there's
because I guarantee that I could not carry... you down a set of stairs, whereas there are women who could carry you down a set of stairs who
exactly.
are bigger than me, are more physically capable.
And
than
that's
me.
What I'm saying is like we should not like this equal treatment thing has gotten kind of perverted, and now that like we've relaxed standards. When if a woman can fit a standard that that is set forth by a job because it makes sense,
exactly.
Like so, if Linda Hamilton wants to be a firefighter or the Vasquez from Aliens wants to be a firefighter, then fuck yeah. Let her fight fires.
Yeah, right.
But if, like, you know, your girlfriend. What, I don't want your girlfriend showing up in a hard hat to carry my fat ass downstairs.
Sorry, Crystal.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't think she wants to carry my fat ass downstairs.
I don't think
downstairs.
She wants to carry me down a set of stairs.
And I don't want you showing up to carry my fat ass downstairs either, right?
Right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's not about gender. Yeah. It's about the physical ability to carry out a function.
And like I said, women that are like pissed that I'm saying this, please send me email
at
blueyonder@baldmove.com because I'm trying to figure this shit out.
Yeah, we both are, I think.
I mean, like, because of the way I was raised and this, you know, fundamental religion, I haven't spent a lot of time, so I'm actually trying to grow as a person. So send that mail, blueyonder@baldmove.com. Tell me why I'm wrong. I'd love to hear it. And we'll talk about it on the air. Talk about it off the air. We'll get through this. We'll get to our Blue Yonder utopia.
We promise we'll talk about it off the air.
We'll talk about you behind your back.
Do you have any more feedback? Is that the only feedback we've got is from our forums that people can go publicly view on forums.baldmove.com?
Forums.baldmove.com, yeah.
That's all the feedback we've got. We've got no emails?
I don't have any emails. Right. I don't know if actually, I don't know if we had a Stoffus corner.
Do we have any voicemails?
No voicemails.
All right.
No carrier pigeon. They've gone extinct,
telepathic communications to you, maybe?
No. If I got one, I'd be seeing James Randi about that $1 million.
All right.
At his eyeglass store in Boston, Massachusetts, where
wait. Bring this back.
No, it wasn't Stores Museum. At the eyeglass museum in Boston.
Does he have like Thomas Edison's eyeglasses or something?
Ben Franklin.
Yeah, that's the guy I was looking for.
We haven't released that cast.
What?
That's the Jonestown experiment that you did on the cast.
Yeah. Can I talk a little bit about the Jonestown experiment?
Hype it up, because I'm worried. I'm nervous. I don't think world's ready for this cast.
This is the greatest. I'm telling you, listeners, it starts a little rough, but by the time you realize what I'm doing to Aaron, it's glorious. It's our best episode ever, easily.
You mind-fucked me.
I did. I really did. And here's the thing. I had been considering this option for a long time because I take like a 40-minute drive to your place every week to do this podcast, right? Uh-huh. So what I was planning on doing was I was going to record my own personal solo podcast on the way here and talk to the listeners about how I was going to fuck with you that week. Because,
really?
Like, every week I was going to do something different to you.
You planned this?
No, I didn't plan.
You're a monster.
I didn't plan this particular one. But halfway through the episode, I realized this is happening.
Right,
so I ought to go with it. So that's what I did. I decided, you know what? I can't talk about it to the listeners, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I did.
You ever been mindfucked before?
I don't think so.
I'm mindfucking you right now.
You are?
Can you feel my dick fucking your mind?
Really feel anything.
See, that's it. That's the art of it. I'm mind fucking the shit out of you.
Hope you're wearing a condom because I have a dirty mind.
Yeah, you mind fucked the shit out of me.
I did, man.
And it was uncomfortable. Like
it was. Yeah.
I'm not making this up. It was very funny that the climax of it, but at
when
the
I brought
end,
it around,
he's
yeah.
like, we should do that every week. I'm like, dude, it was actually it shook me. It was tough to get through. It was very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what made it so genuine and so brilliant.
I can't believe we're releasing it, actually.
We will.
It's a weird, weird show.
Yeah. At the beginning of it, I say it's episode 73, but this is actually 73.
That's part of the mindfuck.
That's part of the mindfuck.
To the listeners, can you hear Jim's, can you feel Jim's
my mind cock.
Yeah, in your mind. God, what the hell? What the hell are we doing?
I don't know. We're ending the show is what we're doing.
Okay.
We're ending the show.
Yep, we've already shouted out all our social media stuff. I think it's time to end the show.
We're ending the show.
You have a specific way to end it, and for whatever reason, I don't know if this is an extended part of the mindfuck, but you have refused to use that sequence of words to end it for several weeks now.
And with that said,
thank God.
Until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard. Ciao.
The audio boobs are coming out tonight.
Boobs.
boobing those audios. How you doing on your beer? You need some more beer, I think.
No, I don't.
You need to drink some more beer is what I'm saying.
Alrighty. I've had a lot of beer and a lot of booze today, actually.
Yeah, but you're not currently drunk.
How do you know?
You don't seem like it. I can tell. I can tell if you're drunk. You get just slightly less...
crisp in my audio.
Yeah, your audio levels go down a bit.
All right. I'll fucking
chug. No, actually, your audio levels go up when you're drunk.
I'll fucking chug.
I think that's what most people... Don't chug that beautiful beer. Don't chug that beautiful beer.
I quaffed it.
All right.
It actually tastes good warm.
Yeah. Yeah, that beer tastes good no matter what you do to it. You could piss at it, and that beer would still taste like an angel's ass. Which tastes good.
That's what I say. As you find the goodness of that.
Hey, an angel tastes good no matter where you taste it.
The what about ass? The swampy armpit?
Oh, yeah. Angel? Really? Yeah, it's angel sweat.
It tastes like angel food cake. Soaked in evaporated milk.
Sure. They sweat evaporated milk. You didn't know that?
Oh, God. That would be delicious. If I had a woman that sweated evaporated milk, I couldn't stop licking her.
No, that'd be gross. I don't even really like the taste of milk that much.
I'd rather have do you know what evaporated milk tastes like?
No, I've never had evaporated milk.
It's almost like caramely. It's very sweet.
Hmm. It's the powder, right?
No. It's like really thick, syrupy... Sweet, almost like almost like
powdered milk,
almost like a syrupy icing. Not powdered.
Oh,
milk.
Interesting.
Condensed milk. It looks like semen, but tastes like tastes like angel spooge.
Better than tastes like semen, but looks like
tastes looks like semen. Icing. Tastes like semen, but looks like a delicious ambrosia. Semen All looks right. like. Delicious ambrosia.
Are you ready, Semen Man?
I'm ready.
Did you ever play the game Seaman on Dreamcast?
Fuck.
It had
no.
Leonard Nimoy. Leonard Nimoy was the narrator of it.
Yeah.
And you spoke into a microphone to play this game. I never played it either, but I had a copy of it. I had
it was
a
called
copy
Seaman.
Of it.
Seaman.
It's called Seaman. It was called actually Caution Seaman, I think. Had a big caution sign on the front. Like
caution semen.
Yeah, like the diamond shaped. Yeah, caution semen. And Leonard Nimoy had his mouth all over it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there you go. Shiman.
What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. I had a sealed copy of that.
What the fuck?
Leonard Nimoy, as himself.
Yeah,
did you see that shit?
I know.
As himself.
Is the third best-selling Dreamcast game?
that does not
This
seem
did not
right.
come out in the United States.
Oh, sure it did.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, dude. Caution, semen.
Game Informer named the game one of the top 10 weirdest of all time.
Yeah, look. Release dates. Dreamcast.
Seaman 2.
Yeah, Seaman 2 is pretty rare.
Seaman.
Don't panic. Oh. Seaman 2.
Look at this thing. You could Photoshop Caveman. That.
Oh.
Don't panic, Seaman and Seaman 2.
Yep.
Wow. All right. Fucking let's cast this shit.
We've
man.
Been casting for the last 10 minutes.
I'd believe you.